Good morning. It would be really helpful if you could keep your Bibles open at our passage in Acts 1, which is on page 1092. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in your word. Amen. Now, film sequels are not often as good as the original, are they? I'm sure you've waited eagerly for the next film in the series to come out, but only to be a bit disappointed. We're still divided in our household over whether High School Musical 2 was any good, although we are all agreed on the success of High School Musical 3, which reduced my husband Paul to tears, not because it was so awful, but because it was so moving. The Star Wars films have all been pretty good, and the Indiana Jones ones, but Grease 2 was generally viewed as a flop, and I'm reliably informed, if you like a Western, that The Return of the Magnificent Seven was also pretty awful. So sequels are often not as good as the film that they follow. And today and next week, we're taking a break from our Psalm series, and we're looking at events around Pentecost in Acts 1 and 2. And Luke is really clear at the beginning of our reading that this is a sequel to his former book, the Gospel of Luke. He's telling us with his opening sentence something significant about the book of Acts. He says his first book covered all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up to heaven. And so he implies that this sequel of Acts is all about what Jesus is continuing to do and to teach. Through his apostles and his church and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus remains a living and powerful reality, a person who can be known and loved, obeyed and followed. It's the next stage of Jesus' ministry. And unlike the sequels that we often see, it's not going to be a letdown. And if Acts is about what Jesus is continuing to do, that makes the resurrection key. Luke points out in verse 3 that Jesus showed himself to the apostles and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. In his gospel, Luke, the great historian with an eye for detail, provides the evidence that Jesus is alive. Without the resurrection, we have no gospel. Just the sad memory of a great teacher who failed in the end. The resurrection is the foundation of the new world that Luke is now beginning to describe in the book of Acts. And in one of these resurrection encounters that is outlined in verse 4, Jesus tells the apostles that they must not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised. And so this is the first point I'd like to draw out. They are apostles waiting for the gift. How good are you at waiting? At Greenbelt, the Christian Arts Festival, a good number of years ago, I surprised Paul by being willing to queue for about 3 hours in the rain to see a particular singer that I love. He couldn't see why that would be a good idea, and I think abandoned me to the wait. Roll forward 20 years, and less than a month ago, I went with my daughter Beth to a gig on the Cowley Road in Oxford. We waited an hour and a half for the support band, and then another half hour in between for the singers we'd actually come to see. And this time, the waiting got me down. Many of our young people are doing major exams this year and do continue to pray for them. Some are still waiting to start, but all of them are waiting for exams to be over so they can have the long summer stretching out ahead. You've probably waited for birthdays, for holidays, for buses, for phone calls and for babies to be born. I think the disciples have been doing a good bit of waiting around since Easter morning, waiting to see if they would be arrested, waiting to see when and if Jesus would make another appearance. And here Jesus asks them to wait again, this time for a gift promised by their Father God. A gift, not what they've earned or deserved, but a promise that God is going to fulfill. Jesus has spoken of this gift before, but now he says, in a few days, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the gift and promise of God. John the Baptist, Jesus says in verse 5, baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So baptism for us is about more than just water. The water is an outward sign of something that is taking place inside, something that the Holy Spirit is doing. Today, Isaac has been baptized. As his parents at this point in his life, they take on the commitment to follow Jesus and to bring him up in the Christian faith. But today also marks the beginning of Isaac's own journey of faith, as we know and believe that the Holy Spirit will continue to work in his life. We pray too that one day he will take on the promises made on his behalf, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the changes he brings about, Isaac will not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. We have to wait for that day to come. And as they waited, the apostles are being prepared by Jesus, because we read that he gave them instructions. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God, God's rule and reign in people's hearts. And in verse 8, he gives the apostles a job to do. He is deliberately preparing them before his earthly ministry ends, because significantly, part of their waiting is that they have to say goodbye to the physical presence of Jesus. He has to leave for the Spirit to come. And so we read in verse 9 that after he had spoken to them, he was taken up before their eyes. He ascended into heaven, and a cloud hid him from their sight. That's not a rain cloud, but a cloud that means that God is present. And the disciples just carry on staring after him. Have you ever had the experience of seeing someone off on a train? And I find this really poignant to do. Perhaps you stand on the platform, the other side of the carriage window, and as the train moves, you wave, and maybe you walk up the platform, and you might carry on waving as you strain for a final glimpse of the person you're seeing off. And then as the train disappears and you turn to go, perhaps you get, as I do, a wave coming over you of being left alone. I think it must have been a bit like that for the disciples, who are still gazing into the sky when two men in white, who would have been angels, ask why they are standing there. They have to let Jesus go. There is a job to do. And anyway, he will be coming back one day. But there are still another 10 days for them to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told that the apostles spend this time praising God and joining together constantly in prayer. That was a great way of preparing, by staying connected to Jesus. And it was key for the story of what Jesus is continuing to do. Prayer is a way that heaven and earth overlap, and as true for us as it was for the disciples, that we can know and be energized by the life of heaven here on earth. I've certainly had the experience of coming to our monthly encounter prayer meeting tired and weary, worn, but come away re-energized from praying and worshiping with others in that way. And like the disciples, we are right now living in the 10 days between Ascension Day, which was last Thursday, and Pentecost. And we too have the opportunity to join in prayer through the Archbishop of Canterbury's Thy Kingdom Come initiative. Look out for the details on your way out. It's a great way to prepare for Pentecost and to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit on our church and our nation. So we have found the disciples waiting for the gift, which, and this is my second point, which will see them witnessing for our God, waiting for the gift and then witnessing for our God. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming? The disciples hear what Jesus says about being baptized with the Spirit, and what they ask is, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This wasn't such a daft question, because the prophets had always put together the idea of God establishing the kingdom of the Messiah with the time that God would pour out his Spirit. So if the Spirit is about to come, doesn't this imply the kingdom was about to come too? After all that Jesus has taught them about the kingdom of God, they seem to still be expecting the restoration of a military and political kingdom that would drive out the Roman armies and restore national sovereignty to Israel. That's what they think the baptism of the Spirit might mean. And in verse 8, Jesus corrects them. He tells them that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's not a power that will help them to defeat Roman armies, but a power that will enable them to be Jesus' witnesses and to spread the good news throughout the whole world. In other words, the restoration of the kingdom to Israel is in God's timing that they are not to know. And in the meantime, between Pentecost and Jesus' return, there is a task that believers should be getting on with. So the purpose of the gift that they have been waiting for is for them to be witnesses for our God and his saving work through Jesus. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. As verse 8 says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The fascinating thing about verse 8 is that it's like a table of contents for the book of Acts, because chapters 1 to 7 are about events in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 and 9 see the apostles scattered in Judea and Samaria, and the rest of the book, they go off to the ends of the earth, to the Gentile nations. Being a witness to Jesus began where they were in Jerusalem and gradually went further and further afield. And whether or not you consider yourself a Christian here today, you are living proof that the early church was both given the power of the Holy Spirit to go and witness to Jesus and was successful in its mission. We are those people at the ends of the earth. We see too that it was the Holy Spirit who equipped them to be witnesses, that their witness would be on a sound footing. Jesus instructed them through the Holy Spirit, and it was through the Holy Spirit that the scriptures were opened to them when Jesus taught them after his resurrection. So we find the apostles waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who would enable them to go witnessing for our God. But what might all this mean for us? So just some thoughts as we close. We live in a time after Pentecost, so we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit in the same sense. But do we treasure him as a gift from our Father God? Do we continue to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we wait on God, or are we too busy doing? We can all too easily blunder ahead, assuming that if we know a little bit about Jesus, we can just go off and put things into action in whatever way occurs to us. That's true for us as individuals and as a church. There are so many things we could do for Jesus, but they may not always be the right things. Luke would tell us that there are times to wait and to pray for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to find our calling and our energy from that source. Perhaps we need to remember that the purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit was to give us power to be witnesses. We're called to be witnesses in our own Jerusalem, that is where we are, our families, our workplace, our neighbourhood. Further afield, we want to be good news to the town and community in our witness at St. Nick's. To be a witness in Samaria was to go to people who were outcasts and where no love was lost and there may be opposition. How do we witness to those whom the rest of society would rather ignore? How can we best witness following events like that of Monday in Manchester, when people may question where God was? How do we witness among those of other faiths? These are tough questions, and we know that we need the Holy Spirit's power. We live between Pentecost and Jesus coming again. We too are waiting. But we have a job to do in the meantime. And amazingly, we are part of the sequel to the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. A sequel that will not disappoint. Remember, despite the fact that life and events might tell you otherwise, Jesus is King. The Bible remains alive and active, and the Holy Spirit is still at work, the gift of God to us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your gift to us, your Holy Spirit. Please fill us and use us as witnesses for your saving work in Jesus. Amen.